Welcome to DM to GM. We're the show that helps you feel more comfortable playing the games that you want to play. I'm your DM from Dungeons & Dragons, Russ Moore.
And I'm your GM from The End of Time and Other Bothers, Sean Howard.
And today, we've got a very good question, one that comes up a lot when dealing with game systems that have large and extensive base books, like the one we're going to talk about today, Dungeons & Dragons, the 5th edition.
Bum, bum, bum.
Our question comes from at Models, who's over on our Discord. You can join us. Link is down in the description there. And their first question is, what's the bare minimum a GM or DM needs to know? That's the question that we all ask ourselves.
Specifically in this case about D&D 5th edition.
Yes, Models goes on to say that they came up with the question because they got the D&D 3-book package, being the Dungeon Master's Guide, the Player's Handbook, and the Monster Manual. It, of course, comes with a DM screen, which summarizes a lot of the things that the DM needs to know.
In a confusing way. That's a lot of information. If that's the first thing you open, it's overwhelm. It's just like charts.
It's a lot of information. So the thing you need to know about a lot of these games
When's the last time you used land travel rules, Russ?
My last session.
Damn you. Okay, good.
Look, I've got people trying to go to the middle of a continent. They need to have land travel rules.
All right.
Anyways, so what this made Models realize is that there is a lot to know, and there is a lot to know. So hopefully today, we're going to at least pare down some of the things that you can skip to first, read through first, before you sit down at a table or have your players sit down and read, so that you can get playing, not necessarily super fast, but quicker than having to read through 900-plus pages of rules and stat blocks and all that sort of stuff.
All right, I have the first one.
All right.
Okay, you're going to open that pack of three things.
Yeah.
And you're going to take the Monster Manual, and you're going to take the Player's Handbook, and you're going to take the Dungeon Master screen. You're going to put that in a beautiful place where you're going to like look at it and read it and have access to it by your bedside, wherever you want. You're going to take that Dungeon Master's guide, and you're going to basically hide it. Don't read it. There you go. That's the first thing. The beautiful thing they did with 5th edition, because I'm a 2E guy, right, from 2E.
Yeah.
You had to read the Dungeon Master's Guide and the Player's Handbook in 2E. What they've done really well, I think, in 5th edition is I bought the Dungeon Master's Guide and I was like reading it. And I'm like it's fine. It's good if you want to then do that later.
Yeah.
But the beautiful thing in 5E is all you need is the Player's Handbook and it's all your players need. As a GM, as a player, it's all you need. You can play the game.
And they've even gone one step further and they've pared down the Player's Handbook from 300 plus pages down to a mere 180 pages. But on their
almost
website,
50% off,
right?
That's almost 50% less.
And here's the hook. D&D, they want people to play their game. So they've given you those base rules, the 180 pages with the four main races, the four main classes for free.
Free, Russ, really?
Free. This is an not a sponsor. Not a sponsor.
Yet.
But on their website, we'll link it down in the description, as we have in many past episodes, because we've talked about this before, is they give you that pared down version for free. So if you want to go deeper and know more later, go get the books, go buy the books, get it on D&D Beyond, whatever you got to do. But you can sit down with your friends. It walks you through how to build a character, how to plan a combat encounter, how magic works. And that's the three kind of base things you need to know. So I've just answered our question. Sorry, I've ruined our entire episode.
No, you haven't. It's good, but we have more.
Yeah.
So, no, it's good. So, I think it's a great idea of just learn the base rules, play the base rules, because what you want to do is have fun.
Yes.
Even as the GM, it's a lot. So, you should have fun. So, make it easier. Have fun. Now, what's going to happen is that as you get closer to game night, like let's say you've downloaded it, you've sent that link to all your players, everyone's excited, everyone's read. As you get closer to game night, overwhelm will start to set in as a GM. Guaranteed first time. It's going to happen.
It happens just be ready even for it. After you do it forever.
This happens every recording day for me. First idea I had, I was like, oh, use your players. And I think you should. You should ask every player to learn their player character. Like that's just one small section. Now those 180, but they just have to learn those 8 pages, 6 pages, whatever it is. They should understand what it means all as much as they can about the first level for that player character class and race.
And when they're doing that, they're going to figure out a lot of the other game mechanics as they go. You're going to figure out what your skills and ability scores are. You're going to figure out your AC. You're going to figure out your hits and your attacks. And you may not know exactly what the bonuses do for you in the moment, but you're going to know what they are so that you, when the DM or GM asks for those things, you now have an idea of where to go and find it because you've filled out your sheet, you've read through the description in the book, and it's going to be easier to reference for everybody once you sit down at the table.
And create a Discord, create a closed Facebook group, create a place where every player, as they're reading it, can be like, wait, what does this mean? And it's going to make it easier for you as the game master because you can be like, oh, wait, I think I know I read that. And then you can take some time, go back, read about that thing in the book and be like, oh, yeah, that's this. And then everybody's learning together and it keeps it just easier than everyone learning it all at once.
And having that side group going, the other great thing, too, is that if you don't have the answer, maybe Steven over there read a little bit more. And
Steven always has the answer.
Always. Maybe he read a little bit more and he's got it ready to go. Not only did he help your other player, but he helped you understand it a little bit better as well, whether you were a little shaky on it or not.
Okay, so now you prepared. You're relatively comfortable, all of you, but it's a little nerve-wracking moving up to the game. I'm going to skip over prep. We're going to talk about that in a minute, okay? Because that is a place of overwhelm. We're going to talk about you're running your first game. I have created, and if Russ pushes me, I'll do this as a little flowcharty thing in OmniGravel, but I just penciled out a flowchart.
Of course you did.
Okay. Yes, I did. You're at the table, and someone wants to do something. They say, my character scales the wall because they're a thief, and they're going to go around the guards. So the first thing you have to answer is it a spell? No.
No.
So then you go to this other section. Russ, does it seem really difficult?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Do you know the rule for this?
No.
No. My next thing says roll something.
Okay.
Just roll something. Roll a dice. Roll a die, Russ. And is it high or low?
It's a one.
So?
It's low.
They failed.
They failed miserably. You started to climb. You're looking really good. The sweat's glistening. The sun is beating down. And then you hit a rock. And then you fall backwards.
I was only 5 feet up. Okay. So basically, the ideas in the game have fun. If you don't know a rule, just say, you can even say to the table, guys, I don't know what to do here. Let's roll.
Yeah.
And then in your head, you can think 15 or higher out of a 20. Just always roll a 20-sided die. It's D&D.
Yeah.
Roll a 20-sided die, decide what happens, and go. And I want to back up a little. Let's say someone says they want to do something. Like, the guy goes, I want to run around the guards, Russ. Now, Russ, as GM, would be like, well, are you engaged? How many feet? How many blocks they take up? Are they large? Are you a small or extra small two-stage? Anyways, or Russ could just be like, when I said, does it seem difficult? It's not a spell. So then, does it seem difficult?
No.
Russ says, no, it works.
Perfect.
They run around the guards. That's it.
Yep.
Right? If a player wants to do something and it seems not difficult, you don't have to roll anything. Just have fun.
The only times you really want to roll is if there's risk of failure.
Yes.
So if you think, okay, so going back to that guard situation, I could have said, yes, it's going to be difficult. Why? Because those two guards just had 14 Red Bulls and they're on point. They're there, they're watching, they're scanning, they've got laser beams up above just honing in. That's going to be difficult.
My new sword out.
Now you've got to roll stealth to get around them. And if you fail...
I don't know the stealth rolls. What do?
You roll.
Roll something. I'm going to roll twice I die. Wait. I'm rolling a 20-sided die, Russ. Oh, God. I need to do stealth. I'm a thief. I have high dex. I rolled an 8.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. What?
Well...
What happens?
Do you have a plus?
It says +1 next to dex.
Okay, so you add that to your roll, which gives you
a 9. That's a 9.
So now, that's unfortunate, because those jacked up Red Bull guards... Oh. You tripped. Just
wait, wait, wait.
You...
I read it wrong. I had plus four.
Oh.
It's a 12.
You know what? You thought you were going to trip, but then you caught your wind. You rolled out just to hit the shadows because you're a roguish character.
Yes, I am.
You made it by, but now they're a little more on alert. So the people coming in behind you, it's going to be a little bit harder for them to get there.
Oh, I don't care about them. Sweet. There we go. That's how we do it. So don't get overwhelmed at the table. Have fun. If you don't know the rule, just roll something. And you can always write it down. You can have someone at your table write it down. And it's a rule you can look up later. So you can all be like, oh, that's how we do that. But really, it's about having fun. And it's about the risk of the dice.
A thing I liked to do when I was learning how to play. And Tom, Amy, and Carl and I were all playing around the table just trying to figure out the game as we were going.
Yeah, plug your show. Go ahead. Plug your show, Russ.
Way before the show.
We were
all playing around the table, and I had my module out, I had my monsters, I had all of this, but I designated Tom to be my rules checker. So if it's something that I didn't know in the moment, I did what Sean and I did, is we made it up, we played it, we made it fun, but then I said, Tom, can you check that for me to see if what we did applies to the rules, or if it's broken the game in some way, shape, or form that we have to then go back and change.
Which we were still doing in the Tiamat episode.
That was a very important episode to up a big rule on. Pardon my language. No, that's not the word I wanted to say. To screw up a big rule. Whoops.
It's 100% great to have someone that will just check a rule and you can come back to, or just write it down.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to do it in the moment. Let's look at it later. So I think that'll help. So we've talked about, okay, what do you do to ramp up? We talked about what do you do in the game if you don't know what to do? And we didn't really go into the spell one, so I want to talk about that.
Sure.
If it's a spell, I don't know what Russ does, but here's what I do. I have my laptop open, and one of the only things I use my laptop for is searching the Roll20 compendium for spells. Because as soon as the magic user, first of all, you'll have a lot of ramp up time because they'll be doing this. Okay, I think I'm going to cast Wall of... No, okay, maybe I'm going to do Wind Drop. No, I think Wall of Flame. No, what about the knife one with the cube of...
They're going to talk about it and ask a friend or phone a friend and, you know, poll the audience. They're going to try and figure out. And that's fine. That's part of the game. Yep. But like Sean said, there's apps, there's websites that are designed. So Roll20 Compendium is one of them. D&D Beyond is one of them.
Has a good one.
All of them are quick to say, like, okay, they've cast Wind Wall. I don't know exactly what that does, but I'm going to quickly type it in here. Okay, it creates a big wall that, you know, blows arrows back and it's difficult to get through.
Yep.
So you can quickly find it as they're reading it out and figuring it out.
And here's my rule on my wonderful chart I've drawn. Okay, is it a spell? Is it a spell, Russ?
Yes.
Okay, you search on Roll20 Compendium. It's a complicated one. Do you understand it?
No.
It works.
Sweet.
Wind Wall does whatever you think it could do when it sounds like a wall of wind blows everyone back 50 feet.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, make it up. Have fun at the table, but mark it down later. Gotta figure out Wind Wall. If you do understand it, then you just do that.
Yeah.
There you go. That's all you need.
If you know the spell or if you have the spell right up in front of you, you can quickly scan it. They make it very clear what the end objective is. But if you're in the midst of like a huge battle and they're like, I cast Wind Wall, great, roll, or, you know, whatever it is, it happens. Yeah. It does it. It's awesome. They feel good about it. You feel good about it. And then you can go back and check it later and be like, I overpowered your Wind Wall, but I won't do it next time.
There are a couple, they've done a good job of 5e, but there are still a few spells that are confusing, even like for us.
Oh, for sure.
Like, there's a few where we're like, what? You know, you got to read it again. You have to have a little debate about, you know, because sometimes players are getting very creative in how they want to use certain spells. Yeah. So it creates some whatever.
And,
but anyways.
And then there's a spell that you can change one letter in or two letters in a spell that changes the spell entirely.
Yeah.
So, yes, once you get to like high level stuff, you've probably been playing for a while. Don't start with a one shot where you've got level 15 characters. No one is going to have fun with that. Start low level. Like, they're squishier,
level
but
one.
They're easier
it's
to
fun.
Understand.
It is fun. Okay, so let's talk about overwhelm from planning, right? So the bear, let's got a lot of parts here to answer. Thank you, models, for asking this question. How, aside from not giving ourselves enough time, yeah. though that is probably a strategy I use now, how do you stop the overwhelm from over-planning, right? I found an old notebook for one of my early campaigns, and it's literally an entire notebook of worlds in history.
Visual. This is an audio medium. I've got a binder that is like three...
this big.
It's huge. It's like all three, the Dungeon Master's Guide, the Player's Handbook, and the Monster Manual all put together. You know what's in there? Useless garbage.
Yeah.
Because nobody asked about it.
But months of fun work.
But months of fun work. Yes.
Yeah. So how do we, I mean, some of this is confidence, right?
And confidence comes with experience. So we're not saying, be confident for your first game. It's not going to happen. It's fine.
But some of planning also gives a confidence whether you use it or not.
Yep. Okay. I say that we never used it. It's useless garbage. It's not useless garbage. No prep is entirely useless because you can always go back to it if you didn't use it that session.
Right.
So you 100%. Plan 18 rooms for a maze. You only use two of them. Those other 16 rooms then show up somewhere else in the world.
Unless you're Russ, where you're not allowed to use mazes ever again.
Jokes on them.
Yeah, no, and it's hard. Like, some of learning how much to plan comes from learning how much was not needed.
Yes.
Right? And some of that's just a feedback loop where you also, it's not about just us. Some of this is about learning your table. If I were to step back now, I'd be like, there are tables. I'm getting to a new table. I plan more because I might have, right? I might have people that want to, well, no, I don't, but I should.
The theory stands.
Right? I'm set in my ways now. But normally, like, it's learning the table. What does the table want to do? Right? Like, what? Russ and I both have tables that we have to be prepared for, can spend an entire hour episode doing nothing.
Yes.
Right? So, and that changes the way we plan.
Yeah.
And then you'll hear me, I don't know about Russ, but you'll hear me every once in a while where the table's just like, they're committed. They're just going. And I'm like scrambling. I'm like, oh God, we're moving ahead. I'm ready. I'm totally ready. Yeah,
this thing happens. Go.
Oh, wait, that was from last week you didn't use. Oh, you're through that now. Oh, this thing happened.
Yeah.
It's so part of it's just knowing your table. And part of it, I think, is just learning, right? But I think most GMs overprepare when they start.
Now, how do we get to know our table if this is the first time we're setting down?
Great question.
Have a session zero. Sit down with your players. Figure out what they think this game is going to be.
Yep.
Do they think it's going to be mazes? Do they think it's going to be just dungeon crawl, monster kill, treasure hunt? Do they think they're going to get to seduce everything they walk in and come in contact with? Or do they want to get to know the commoners of this village and why they're there and how they're there? You may have a mixed table, which gives you a broader idea, which makes it a little more difficult, but it gives you an idea of what each player is trying to get out of the game alongside everybody else.
Yeah, I don't use it a lot, but I tend to like this framework where you you start by introducing your concept of the world. You bring everyone together and you go, I have this cool idea. Don't read all 18 pages from your binder, right? Do the short pitch. I have a cool idea. It's punk world. I don't know. It's like steampunk meets sci-fi meets whatever, demon world. And just get them interested and excited in the world. And then there's the three questions. What would you be excited to do in this world? Like, what excites you? What would be fun to do? And then the second question I like to ask is, what would not be cool to do?
Yeah.
Like, what is off limits? What is not cool? What is not fun? Allow players, it's a question we don't always ask, but allow new players to say, you know, they might have had an experience playing a game where something happened they weren't comfortable with. Mm-hmm. That can come out, right? Poor Russ has run into it. My table, we don't like killing animals. So, like wolves and whatever. So, and then he put frogs in there. Bastard. But anyways,
what?
It was funny.
What frogs?
If you haven't heard it, you have to hear it. The cast the thing with all the frogs.
Oh, yeah, I did. I just ignore tables sometimes, especially when I know the
it was funny.
Them, but yes.
If you guys haven't listened to that episode, it's on the Patreon. You can't. Okay. Yeah. So the third question is to then put it into the character, right? What does your character want or need in this world? Because I find if if I can get what would be fun, what Russ was talking about, what's not cool, like what do we need to avoid in this world so you can have fun? But the third one is what I then mine for ideas at the table. I don't know if you, Russ, but I'm like, if I can get a sense of what their character wants to do, like they want all the riches, or they want to be the supreme knight, or the most they want to be the hero, or they want to be the thief that everybody's afraid of, whatever, that gives us ideas as a GM for what to play with as tensions.
That's something I like to do with my table. I mean, both Sean and I have long running tables. So that's something I like to do, not even just off the top when you're starting a game, but have those touch points every, you know, 3 to 5 sessions that you sit down and be like, okay, this is what we said last time that, you know, Moot wanted to go do. We've done some of that stuff. Is that still the trajectory that you see your character on? And if not, then you can start skewing the game other ways. So it's a great way to start the game, but it's also a good way to keep it going once you've got it going. So you don't run out of ideas. Be like, well, they've made it to the first goal, but I didn't ask, you know, maybe they wanted to do other stuff along the way.
That's awesome. I think we've answered this question. It was a hard one. It was a lot to it. It was a good question.
Very good question. Thank you, models. The only other thing I think we didn't really touch on is specifically for Dungeon Masters. And again, for Dungeons & Dragons 5e, go back to that basic rules, get the free ones, at least to start. They break down what you're going to find during, you know, what you're going to need for advice on building combat encounters, be it monsters or riddles or puzzles or anything like that. And then how to read a stat block for a monster. They're just a pared down character sheet, but they're just a little, you know, different enough to be, if you're looking at them for the first time, different enough to be a little bit of a pain in the butt. And then how to deal with magic items as well, because that can sometimes throw a wrinkle in when you're like, oh, I don't know what this cursed thing does. Just have fun. Go for it.
And get started. That's the key. Just do it. If you don't have it all figured out, just hopefully we've given you enough tricks that you can just feel comfortable doing it at the table, having fun. And then you'll slowly, it's so much easier if you learn this over time.
Yeah. It's like any game, anything you do, once you start doing it, then you can take the things that you run into and apply them to what you're reading. Whereas trying to apply, you know, 900 pages of text that you've read to one specific event.
It's crazy how much of this shit we can keep in our heads once we're playing.
It just comes to me now. I'm like in a business meeting and I ask somebody to roll for persuasion because I don't think their pitch is going well. They look at me weird and then they walk out.
That's a good way to end a meeting. But also remember, it's okay to check the book. Matthew Mercer checks the book in his show on the air. He'll be like, give me that book, flip it open, check it. It's all okay.
That's why it's in the book. Nobody's saying that you need to remember everything. Use bookmarks.
Or search online. It's all searchable.
Okay. Models, if that helped and if this helped anybody else, or if you still have more questions, please send them to us. You can join us on Discord, link down in the description, to our email, dmtogmcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. Links are in the description. We've also linked those basic rules. Please go check them out. Leave us a rating and review. And you know what? If you do, we'll read it on here and thank you profusely, because that's what we love to do, is thank you for listening to us.
Now, go play.
Do it!